Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to invite the Eads family to come up and join me on the platform. Travis and Alicia and Jackson and Landon and Weston and Annie. Also, I want to invite the elders and their wives to come up and form a horseshoe around me. And Jim Barker's going to come and stand next to me. And as everybody is coming up on the platform, let me update you. If you weren't here last week, we shared what we think is a next chapter in the history of our church. About 12 years ago, we launched out on a strategy that's called a multi-site strategy. We became one church on many campuses, and over the 12 years became one church on seven campuses. A little over a year ago, we began sensing, is this the right strategy for us to continue, or is it time to adapt a different approach? There are certain things that will never change. We'll always preach the gospel. We'll always study the Bible. We'll always elevate Jesus. But then sometimes a shift of strategy seems like the right thing to do. So we called you to 40 days of prayer. And during that season of prayer, we began to sense that, yeah, I think it's time to do something slightly different. And we came up with this idea of taking all of our campuses and blessing and releasing them to become independent, autonomous churches, with the idea then that they will plant other churches. Well, we got very, very excited about this and worked out a plan to do it and announced that to you last week. Over the next 3 years, each of our campuses will be blessed and released to become an independent church. No sooner than this time next year, no longer than 3 years from right now. And if at that point a campus is not ready to become a church, that's fine. We'll declare them as a mission of the Oak Hills Church. So having made that declaration, we then needed to appoint lead ministers on each campus so that lead minister would then have this next year to prepare to become the senior minister when that campus becomes a church. Is all this making sense? And so we set about the task of thinking that through, especially for the Crown Ridge campus, which is the largest of the campuses. Well, we actually called from Houston a gentleman who has a search firm for churches. He connects churches who are looking for leaders. He connects leaders who are looking for churches. Has more experience, more networking than anybody really in the world. We had him to come over. He spent some time here visiting with elders, with staff, with leaders. And he met with us at the end of his time on our campus. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. You know, you can look, or you can hire us to look around the country. But oh, I'll tell you right now, the person best suited is already here on your campus, and his name is Travis Eads. You may know that Travis came to Oak Hills to serve as a worship leader, which he did for several years, and then he moved into the role of campus minister here at Crown Ridge. And when the consulting firm said that to us, boy, it resonated with my heart. And in the ensuing months, Travis has had who knows how many conversations with elders and leaders, and it is an absolutely unanimous sense among us that we have the right person right here. And so today, it is my high honor to turn to you, Travis and Alicia, and this beautiful Eads family, and appoint and anoint you as the lead minister of the Crown Ridge campus. You know, go ahead. There are so many things I love about you, Travis, so many things. I love your eagerness. I love your sense that you'll take on any challenge. I love your hunger to learn. I love your pure heart I think if we could somehow take your heart and put it in an MRI scanner, we'd find no speck of dishonesty. You are shot through, washed in integrity. You're a great thinker. You're a great thinker. In our early meetings, I would notice you weren't saying much, and I thought, what's going on in there? Only to find out then that when you would speak, the words were coming out of a wellspring of wisdom. You're not like many of us who speak before we know what to say. You think it through first. You've led us in worship. You've led this staff in an amazing fashion. And now it is my privilege to be a part of watching you as we sense God is anointing you to be the lead minister of the Crown Ridge campus. I would like to, which will be the Crown Ridge Church, Oak Hills Church, Crown Ridge. I'd like to give you this commission from the book of 2 Timothy. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will charge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry. With the anointing oil, we set you apart. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for a special blessing. Amen. Amen.
Travis, quite a day, huh?
A big day.
Big day. And we're so thankful for you, Alicia, your family. And now, church, would you extend a hand and join me in this prayer for your new minister, Travis Eads. Good and gracious Father, we are reminded that every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift, comes from you, the Father of us all. We begin by thanking you for the greatest gift ever given, the gift of your Son Jesus, by whom we've received the gift of your forgiveness and your eternal life. When your Son ascended to you, he gave gifts to your church. Father, we thank you for your gift of Travis Eads as a minister to your church here at Crown Ridge. Father, we ask you to inspire and empower Travis to pastor your people, to fully carry out the preaching and teaching of your word, to proclaim Christ, admonishing us all and teaching us all with all wisdom until we all grow and mature in Christ. May Travis faithfully labor and serve according to your power that mightily works within him. May the roots of his life sink deep into the rich and fertile soil of your eternal, unfailing love, so we all together come to know the breadth and length and height and depth of your love filling our hearts, overflowing to all whom our lives touch. And Father, we ask this with great confidence, knowing that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think or imagine, according to your power at work in Travis and in us. And now to you be glory in your church here at Crown Ridge and in Christ Jesus to all generations, both now and for all generations to follow, and all to the praise of the glory of your grace, which you freely bestowed on us in your beloved Son, in whose name we pray. And all the church said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And speaking of the God of all grace and his gracious gifts to his church, Max, it's time to turn our attention to you. You've been senior minister of Oak Hills Church for over 30 years. It's been a long and a good run, hasn't it, Max? And I think we could all say of you what the Apostle Paul said of himself. Max, by the grace of God, you are what you are. And God's grace is not proved vain in you. You've ministered not only here for 30 years, but influenced the lives of millions around this world. Yet not you, but the grace of God with you, in you. You've run your race as senior minister of Oak Hills Church, and we are all eternally grateful for you and Deanlin, the way you've sacrificially, faithfully served Oak Hills Church. And now we would like for you to receive this prayer of gratitude and release and God's richest blessings on you and Deanlin in the next glorious chapter of your lives. Church, would you join me by extending a hand toward Max? Good Father, we thank you for your gift of your servant, Max Licato. Thank you for the way he's ministered to us as a faithful pastor, preacher, and teacher of the unfathomable riches of your grace in Christ Jesus. Father, we stand in awe of you for the way you've led Max as our senior minister all these many years, bringing us to where we are today. And it is with our deepest gratitude that we release Max from his role as senior minister, asking you to richly bless him in the next chapter of his life here at Oak Hills Church, both through his speaking and writing. May you continue to fill his thoughts with yours, so your thoughts continue to pour out of his life through the words of his mouth and words on the page to our spiritual nourishment and the spiritual nourishment of millions of others around the world, and all to the praise of the glory of your grace, which you freely bestowed on us in your beloved Son, in whose name we pray. And all the church agreed with a hearty amen. Amen.
Wow. How about I begin with telling you what many of you already know? I've never been here before. I'm a kid from Arkansas. I did not come here with this in mind, but I sensed that God was telling me to do it, and so I receive it. I want you to know I receive it. And I am honored. I am so honored and so encouraged. You know, I don't, Max, I don't think I ever told you this, but the very first weekend we ever came just to visit, we were in San Antonio, we were just here. I remember you were closing out a series and about to go into the summer, but you were just telling the church how grateful you were to be able to preach to the Oak Hills Church. And you said, if you can't preach to the Oak Hills Church, then you might as well hang it up. And that has been so true. You are the most gracious group of people I've ever met. You're so encouraging. I cannot tell you just how overwhelmed we have been just by the encouragement that you've given me and my family in the prayer. You are some prayer warriors. I feel like I'm just kind of floating on your prayer. And I would ask that you would continue to keep those prayers coming. Thank you so much for just covering us in that prayer. I am humbled by this, but I'm eager. I'm eager because I do sense that God is up to something, and I'm just happy to be a part of it. You know, I can't help but wonder if this is maybe just a little bit of what David felt when he received his next assignment. It was 1 Samuel chapter 16. The prophet Samuel was headed to a little town called Bethlehem. His mission was to anoint the next king of Israel. And so the prophet Samuel headed straight to the house of Jesse. And Jesse paraded his seven sons in front of the prophet, one by one. And one by one, Samuel said, "No, this is not the one that the Lord has chosen." Samuel asked Jesse, "Do you have any other sons?" He said, "Well, I do. He happens to be my youngest son, and he's out in the field tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Bring him here, and we are not going to sit down until he arrives." Well, young David arrives. I can't imagine the surprise in that room. David, fresh out of the field, I would imagine he probably still smelled like sheep. And can you imagine the surprise in the room when at some point Samuel turns to young David and says, "Your next assignment is to lead the people of Israel." I have to think that there was nobody in that room that was more surprised than David himself. I'm sure he was pretty shocked. I wonder if he maybe did one of these, you know, kind of looking around the room going, "Oh, are you talking to me?" You know, I mean, come on, just moments before he was a shepherd to sheep, and now he's going to be a shepherd to the people. I cannot relate to King David. I cannot relate to giant slayer David. I don't even feel like I can relate to the man after God's own heart, as God called him himself. But I can relate to David on this day. And I can imagine that he had feelings of inadequacy. I can imagine he had thoughts of doubt, thoughts of someone else could do this job better, thoughts of have I done enough, thoughts of do I know enough, thoughts of how am I going to follow Max Licato. Okay, so maybe David didn't have that thought, but I'm pretty sure he would have. I wonder if David had thoughts of, am I ready? But here's the thing. God was ready. God was preparing a harvest for all of Israel. He had dreams for young David. He had dreams for all of Israel. And he has dreams for us. Dreams for this church. Dreams for this great city. Dreams for the world. This is a new ministry season for us. This is new. New beginnings. Let's acknowledge that. Many of you are experiencing new beginnings right now with the beginning of school, and we're surrounded by newness. But let's also acknowledge this, that as Solomon said so many years ago, there is nothing new under the sun. See, some things just don't change. God's relentless love and pursuit of his people. God's invitation to us to embrace life, abundant life, eternal life, and then to simply extend that invitation to someone else. That's always been the mission, and that mission is not going to change. But he's inviting us. He's inviting us to go. I want you to look at this from Matthew 28. These are some of Jesus' final words. He says, therefore, what? Go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. He is inviting us to go. Now, if you read that passage just now and you thought, oh, I'm familiar with that, I've heard that before, that's for the ministers. That verse is for the staff. I want you to be very careful. You see, because the Father is not concerned about where we get a paycheck. That verse is for every single one of us. We are all being invited to go. So, here's my question. Will you go with me? Will you go with me? You see, because I can't help but wonder who is going to reach the thousands of people that drive by this building every day right here in our immediate area. Who's going to reach the thousands of students who attend one of the largest universities in all of the state of Texas, almost literally right across the street from us? Who's going to reach the exploding population of Kendall County? Who's going to reach the hundreds of unchurched people groups in India and China? Who's going to share the good news with the people in the mountains of Guatemala and Indonesia? Who's going to baptize and teach the people right here in our city whose heart language is Spanish? Who's going to take a stand against the enemy who continues to destroy marriages and homes right here in our backyard? Who's going to teach men and women and students, college, young adults, children, that they have been given a spiritual gift? And to show them how to use that spiritual gift to be a blessing to someone else in their school, in their home, in their marriages, in their workplaces, as they go. Who's going to teach people to live generous lives? You know, our city is in desperate need of affordable housing. Who's going to build it? Who's going to go to their knees and be prayer warriors for this church and for this city and for the world? Who's going to help raise up the next generation of servant leaders in this church? Could it be that God has placed us right here, right now, because He is preparing a harvest, because He has dreams? I can say this with confidence, being an Arkansas boy from the fields. There can be no harvest without harvest workers. And God is calling us to harvest. So will you go? Will you go with me? I have a second and final question. Will you grow with me? You see, there is no go if we do not grow. I don't know how to say it any more simple than that. There simply is no go if we do not grow. You know, one of the comments that I've gotten from this congregation more than any other comment over the last few years, many times over and over, and I'm grateful for it, but it's been this: we have enjoyed watching you grow. I appreciate that very much. But you know what that means? That means if I can grow, then you can too. I want you to listen to this from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will, what, church? Grow. we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We are called to grow. See if I can illustrate this quickly. Does anybody know what this is? It's okay, you can answer. It's not a trick question. Yeah, it's a stick, it's a branch. But what if I put two of them together? Then what do I have? Okay, all right, smarty pants. Smart group, you're right. Sticks, branches. But what if I bundle all of these sticks together, these lifeless, fruitless sticks, but there's a lot of them? Who would be willing to wait for these branches to produce a harvest? No takers. Smart group. Here's the point. We could assemble 10,000 people in this assembly, and I will not be surprised if that happens, if God chooses to do that. But if we are not growing, if we are not going, then my friends, we are not the church. We are nothing more than a bundled bunch of fruitless branches. But Jesus had a different idea. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, he said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." I believe that God is calling us to harvest. And there's nothing that we can do to unite two lifeless branches, but connected to the vine. So this is my invitation. It's simple. I believe it's biblical, but I also believe it's bold. Let's grow as we go. Let's grow as we go. There is no go if we do not grow. There is no grow if we are not connected to the vine. That is Jesus Christ. I'm simply taking my next assignment today. This just happens to be my next step. The church. Can you imagine what would happen if we all decided to take just our next step? Not just one of us, not just some of us, but all of us decided to take a next step, to go to the Father and say, "Father, what is my next step?" Whether I perceive it to be a small step or a big step does not matter. It's significant for every single one of us to take our next step, to take our next assignment. Can you imagine what would happen in this church? And because of that, what would happen in this city? And because of that, what would happen in this world? I can lay awake at night thinking about that. We have great days ahead of us. This is not my church. This is not Max's church. It's not the elders' church. It's not even our church. We are a Christ-led church. This church belongs to the one who bought it with his blood and is now in this very moment building it with living stones. Men and women leading and serving side by side, all indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is why we have great days ahead of us. As for what to expect for this fall, I, for one, am grateful that Max has graciously chosen to semi-retire. He's still going to be here. He is still going to be teaching. In fact, he's going to be teaching in the next 12 weeks in this series of Awestruck. And I'm going to be right there alongside of you, sitting at his feet, learning, soaking it in. And I'm grateful for that. This is also going to give me an opportunity to spend time with the staff. Could I ask you for a prayer request? Would you pray for me and for our staff? This is a new season for us too, and we need your prayer. This is also going to give me an opportunity to get to know you better and for you to get to know me. And I want you to know that I desire that and I love my conversations with you to get to know the true heartbeat of what's going on in this church. More opportunities for that to come. But for now, I just want you to know that I'm humbled and I am eager to see what God is going to do. So, let's grow as we go. And let's do it together. Amen? Amen. Amen.